Well, it's an honor to be back here again. I feel like I'm here every year. Just going to open in a word of prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you for allowing us to be here in Leduc this morning. Lord, we ask that your voice is louder than ours. That, Lord, they see you, not us, for your glory, Lord. As we share about Teen Challenge, Lord, we know it's you. We thank you for a place of refuge like Teen Challenge where someone can come for 12 months and be discipled and mentored and counseled and prayed for and shown what healthy can look like. Pray for the community of Leduc, the pastoral team here, Leduc Alliance, and our message this morning. Lift you up, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, it's good to be back. How many people here are familiar with Teen Challenge? Show of hands. Let's eat. Anyone who doesn't, can sit at my table. All right. So, as you know, Teen Challenge is a 12-month faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. Why Teen Challenge? I remember Charlie Sheen, when he was going off the rails on national TV, one of the reporters said to him, why don't you go to a program? And he said, why would I go to a program with only a 5% success rate? He said, I have better odds at home. This is someone who's making $1 million an episode. Most short-term programs have a 5 to 10% success rate for those that graduate stay clean. Teen Challenge is significantly higher, with over a 50% for those that graduate our program, surveyed 5 years after graduation, are free from addiction, positively contributing to society. They actually did some studies to disprove the success rate, and they attribute it to the Jesus factor. The pills, the powder, and the needles are so strong, the only way to get off them is to get on something more powerful, and that's the saving grace of Jesus Christ. One of the blessings we have at Teen Challenge is because we're not government funded, we have the freedom to share and base our program on biblical principles. So the morning part of the program from 9 till noon is Christian education, a sermon, some teaching. In the afternoon they get counseling, a work detail in the afternoon. So anything from off property, maybe helping with a move. We help with Operation Christmas Child. With all the shoe boxes, men defense, property maintenance. We have 40 acres nestled in the Pertis Valley. It's very beautiful there. Let's see here. Got that. Good. Let me introduce you to our team, and then we have a drama called Reality Is. So without further ado, let's give our most senior student, Brother Morgan, a warm welcome. And our next newest student, Brother Michael. And again, my name is David Tate. I'm a graduate from 2009 from Edmonton. And some of my friends in Calgary say that's where my problem started. And then I watched the game last night. So just I have the gift of long-suffering, I guess. So I'm going to just share a bit more in a bit, but let's give our team a warm welcome as we present Reality Is.
What is reality? Reality is stealing from the people you love the most just to support your drug addiction, causing your family to kick you out of their lives. What is reality? Reality is going to bed crying every night, wondering why drugs and alcohol still can't take the pain away. And what is reality? Reality is being in a hospital under suicide watch after trying to commit suicide constantly. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is smoking 30 cigarettes a day and waking up in the middle of the night because you can't breathe. And reality is spending all your hard-earned money on drugs and alcohol and selling your personal possessions so you can live. And reality is being too high to get out of bed in the morning because you have no idea where you are. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is being sexually abused as a child and not knowing it's wrong because you trusted them. What is reality? Reality is becoming such a junkie that you choose drugs and alcohol over your own children. Reality is choosing the powder on the table over those who love you the most. And reality is being at a party, being so high, you don't realize your own friend's going to commit suicide hours after leaving the party. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Even though David, Morgan, and myself had different realities, we've all been saved by the same truth. The truth is that since coming to Teen Challenge, I am closer to my family than ever before. The truth is that I can go to bed smiling, knowing that God loves me. And the truth is that God has changed my heart so much that I'm starting to love and forgive myself again.
And the truth is, since coming to Teen Challenge, I've become a completely different person. And the truth is, God is restoring my family and my old relationships. And the truth is, I no longer care for my old lifestyle and bad choices.
The truth is, in March of 2008, I entered this program called Teen Challenge and dedicated my life to Christ. The truth is, I'm now the father God intended for me to be, and I now have my children in my life. The truth is, through obedience to Him, I'm now the development officer for Alberta. And the truth is, I wore this shirt because it brings my eyes out.
That was a good one. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. The reality is the need is great. And the truth is willing that none shall perish. And what we have is a 12-bed facility located just outside of Calgary that help men and women. Ours is a men's center, but we have men and women's center. Become free from addiction to find out who they are in Christ. Not who they are through their past, through their circumstances, through the addiction, through all the things the world puts on them. And we're so thankful for those that support our program. With that, let's give Brother Morgan a warm welcome as he shares a bit of history.
Hi, my name's Morgan, in case you haven't heard already. I'm 24 years old, and I'm from Rocky Mountain House, Alberta. And I've been in the program for 9.5 months. So that's 263 days. I was born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and we moved over to Alberta in 1997. Before I came to Teen Challenge, I spent the last 4 years of my life in the gas and oil industry, but I guess I'll just tell you a little bit about my early life before I get there. Life was good growing up. I came from a Christian family and a Christian background. My parents were very loving, and I was never spoiled growing up. I never went through any trauma until later on in my life. We moved all over Alberta, and started off in Pinoca, moved all the way up to Rainbow Lake, which is where I first discovered that drugs were a problem in life. And I was a very young age, 11 years old, and that's when there were people smoking crack around me, and I didn't really know what that was. So then we moved down to Rocky Mountain House in 2005 or 2006, and that's when I got interest in playing sports. And for whatever reason, I was very aggressive growing up, so sports was a good outlook for me to get rid of all my energy and to make me happy. And then I started getting bullied in school for some reason. I don't know why, but I was really good at sports, and that seemed to help, I think. But then as I got to high school, I switched schools, which is something that I wish I didn't do. I went from a Catholic school to a public school, and that's when a lot of problems started for me. A lot of people were really picking on me because I was different. You know, I was that weird guy with long hair who listened to heavy metal and things like that. And they all liked to party and do drugs and smoke cigarettes, and I didn't have anything to do with that, so I was the weird one. And I just stayed at home, and I didn't really have too many friends, but my friends were the Skid Row kids, the stoners, and the guys who, were just like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And it was just really cool to me. But drugs and alcohol didn't come into my life until later still, and I ended up playing football at a fairly young age, but I was doing really well at it, and it was my dream to become a football player. In 2011, our high school team in Rocky Mountain House took home a provincial bronze medal, and that was really good. We were in the lead until 2.5 minutes left in the game, and then they just snuck by us just a little bit, so we were on our way to the provincial finals. And then the following year, I made a Central Alberta High School All-Star. It was really cool. I was getting scouted to move on to another level to play football, but that never happened. So that was very upsetting for me, and then life went on. I graduated from high school, and then I needed to find something to do. I wasn't living at home anymore. I graduated living in Rocky Mountain House with my brother. We had an apartment, and my parents lived in Leslieville, which is half an hour east. And so I graduated and then got a job working in a grocery store, working in the produce department, and that's where I got introduced to drugs and alcohol. You know, my life wasn't going anywhere. I was hanging around with the wrong kinds of people. And I started going to bars, and I started smoking marijuana, and that's where all my money went. And then I had to start selling drugs so I could afford my lifestyle. My rent was expensive; it was over half my money I was making in the month. So, and then police started driving by my house. So I said, "Okay, well, this isn't really a good idea. I should find something better to do." I was really close to getting kicked out. Could have ended up on the streets. So I said, okay, well, just hang on. I'll go find another job. So I did, and I always looked up to a lot of the guys in the oil field because they always came in. They were buying the real nice, expensive food and always had lots of money. So I said, okay, well, I guess I'll try that. And I was sitting in the top room of my house. I lived in a three-level house. I was on the third floor. I was looking out my window, and I was praying. And I said, God, just please help me. I need something. Please help me. And I got a phone call, an opportunity to go to Bible college. I was 19 years old. And they said, well, come on down. You know, we'll help you out. I said, well, I can't really take the money out. I can't afford it. So then hung up the phone, and they phoned me back half an hour later. And then by some miracle, all my funds were there. I didn't have to pay for my first year of college. They knew I was a drug addict. So I ended up turning the offer down. I said, well, you know, I think I'm just going to get a job and raise some money and to pay off my debts that way. That was probably the worst mistake of my life. So then I was praying, and I was unemployed. I was walking around my house. I didn't have a cigarette for a month. I didn't do drugs for a month. I didn't drink or anything for a month. I just sat there going crazy. And then I kind of went through something rough, and then I got on my bicycle and rode to 7-Eleven, bought a pack of cigarettes, and that first drag of that cigarette, I said, man, I got to go and make some money. So then I made a phone call, and I got a job in the oil field right after that. And that was short-lived, but in 9 days, I made my entire month's salary working at my old job. So that was good. I decided I was going to do that, and then I was unemployed for a couple weeks, phoned up another company, and they hired me on, and that's when my career started. I became a pipeliner, and I ended up working for that company for 4 years. And this is when I started experimenting with cocaine and crack cocaine and methamphetamines and going to the bars and hanging out with really rough people. I was hanging out with drug dealers, guys who'd done time and things like that, guys who really weren't good influences for me, and a lot of the guys I worked with were into that type of thing too. And I got arrested a few times, and cops knocked on my door, and you know, all loaded with and I was really high, you know, so I just kind of lost it. And I was talking to them, and I never ended up going to jail, which was a real blessing. But then a couple of years later, I went to school for welding. I wanted to become a welder. So I was still on drugs the whole time. And I ended up becoming an honor student 2 years in a row in my second year and third year of school. So that was God looking out for me, even though I wasn't following him. He always had my back. And then I went through some experiences. And then my family wanted me to get off drugs. Said, you know, Morgan, you've been doing this for a long time, you know, like, my parents didn't want to kick me out, but, you know, my brother didn't want anything to do with me. He was going to Bible college, you know, and no one really wanted anything to do with me, and work wasn't going so good. I quit showing up to work because
I just wanted to get high. I just sat in my room and just doing drugs and popping pills and smoking and drinking and selling all my things so I could have money because I wasn't going to work because I didn't care. So I had to come to terms with where I was in my life. And then my brother's fiance handed me an application for Teen Challenge. She said, I know you want to clean up and go to Bible college. This is really a place where you can have your cake and eat it too. So it was about a month where I didn't work, and then I decided to fill out the papers and come here, and here I am. Since I've been at Teen Challenge, I've become a completely different person. I've met all kinds of friends, met all kinds of people who support me, and I get to come to outreaches and get all kinds of support from everybody, and it's a lot of fun, and it's really cool. And after I graduate from Teen Challenge in April, I've already got my application to go to Clearwater College of Biblical Studies just outside of Caroline, Alberta. So I'm going to Bible college after I graduate, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and then we'll see what the good Lord has planned for me after that. I have a couple scriptures that I'd like to leave with you today, and the first one is Jeremiah 20:11, and it says, "The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." And then Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And so I'd like to say thank you to my family and to Teen Challenge for accepting guys like myself and Michael and the other guys in the program, for all of these great churches that we come to, for all the support that you give to guys like us. We wouldn't stay if it wasn't for you guys and for our families. So I just want to say thank you for listening to my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Brother Morgan. It's awesome to hear just what God's doing in his life. You know, I know my life before finding the Lord and coming to Teen Challenge and understanding who God is and what he means and what he wants for us, we're just wandering in the desert. And the fact that he's now going to Bible school, and it's interesting how many Teen Challenge graduates go on to become pastors or directors at Teen Challenge. So what the world says is not possible, God says, just watch me. And so, as I mentioned, we are not government funded. We raise our own funds. One of the ways we do that is by doing outreaches like this, and our sponsorship program. I believe everyone got one of these in the bulletin. When you sponsor a student, it's $40 a month. You get quarterly updates. You get invited to their graduation. And it takes about 100 sponsors at $40 a month to put a guy through the program. And so the national average when we do an outreach is 1.5. Students get sponsored. Don't ask me how half a guy gets sponsored. But the national average is 1.5. And in Alberta, we're at 3.0. So our prayer today is that we're able to get our two guys sponsored. And I'll be sharing my testimony in standing in the gap for a newer student to our program who I'd like to see get sponsored today. Without further ado, let's give Brother Michael a warm welcome as he shares.
Good morning. As you said, my name is Michael. I'm 26 years old, and I've been in the Teen Challenge program for 8 months. I was born in Sundre, Alberta, but we moved up to a farm northeast of Lamont, Alberta, when I was four, so in 96. I have one older brother, two older sisters. I was brought up in a loving Christian home. I went to church every Sunday. I was taught the lesson of hard work living on the farm. I stopped going to church when I was 18 because my mom let me have my own decision, so I stopped going. In elementary school, I was in a track club, and I actually held records for our school. And when I was 12 years old, I actually held the Alberta record for the fastest 800-meter runner. However, once I hit junior high, everything changed. I started smoking, drinking, and smoking pot on a regular basis. By the time I was 14, I was a full-blown alcoholic. On my 16th birthday is when I did cocaine for the first time. I'll never forget that feeling. I was never proud of myself growing up and never thought I could live up to anything. But when I did that first line, I felt like I was on the top of the world, and I never wanted to lose that feeling. But I also knew things would never be the same again. because that day started a 10-year cocaine addiction. And in that 10 years, I wish I could take it all back, because I've had my friends die in my arms, I've crashed more cars than I want to do, and I've actually been responsible for some of my friends' death, and I'll never be able to get them back. When I went to parties, I was always the guy that went overboard on drinking and drugs. My friends always said that my drug use was my problem, but I thought it was the solution to my problems. When I was in grade 10, I remember asking my mom for a grad ring. She said no. She's like, you're not going to graduate. So, being the stubborn Michael I am, I started going to school, still doing drugs, still drinking, but I went to school and I actually graduated. And I thank my mom every day for that, because now I have some college education too. Not too long after I graduated, I moved into an apartment with a friend. I got a good job at a fertilizer plant. I got a good wage because I was working crazy hours, working 7 days a week, 12-hour days. Therefore, I had a lot of money. However, I just seemed living paycheck to paycheck, because everything was going to drugs and alcohol. I had a couple other jobs, lost them due to my addiction, but I did manage to hold my last job down for 7 years. So I was a functioning addict, even though I'd often go in there drunk or high. In January 2017, I was doing my second year apprenticeship living in the dorms. One morning, I was coming up drugs and was having a bad day. I got everything ready to hang myself in my room. At the last minute, I got an urge to call my girlfriend, tell her goodbye, and that I loved her. Next thing I knew, people were coming into my room. They broke down the door, and they took me to the hospital. I was put on antidepressants. I had to see a therapist twice a week, still going to school. I'll still never forget the words the therapist said to me that day. He asked, what would your nephews and nieces do without you? And by the way, I have 10 nieces and nephews, so. A week after I got out of the hospital, my girlfriend of 3 years found out about everything. She found out about the cheating, the lying, the stealing, the drugs, and the alcohol, and she broke up with me. And I was devastated. This started my 15th month spiral to my rock bottom. On April 6, 2018, I finally decided to change my life. I text my mom, I need help. On April 8, 2018, I told my parents everything. We got an application about Teen Challenge. And on May 23rd, 2018, I entered the Teen Challenge program. I will admit, my first month was horrible. I had a panic attack almost every day. But I know a 2 or 3 month program won't be long enough for me, because I know I'll go back to my addiction. I'm finding a lot more about myself in here, and I'm learning a lot more about God and just how much He loves us and how much He loves me even after all I've done. I really want my walk with God to be closer and stronger, and that's why I'm here. I would like to thank you all for listening to my story. Without your financial support and prayer support, my recovery would not be possible, and I would not be 244 days sober today. I would like to leave you guys with a scripture that's meant a lot to me. It's Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, because I know I have a purpose in my life now. Thank you.
Thanks, Brother Michael. So glad he's in the program. Got to meet his parents at an event a few months ago. Just love him to death, and just to see the family glowing that they got their son back. And so, again, with our sponsorship, we are looking to get Brother Michael sponsored. If you sponsor today, we'll actually give you their sponsor card. And I believe they're taking up a love offering for us at the end of the service. Don't put the sponsorship in the offering. If you bring it to the back, we'll actually write on there who you want to sponsor. And I got to let you in on something. I was just kind of chuckling on the way here that we might see a miracle here today at Leduc Alliance. Michael is a Flames fan. Okay. So the only reason I share that, because if he gets sponsored after that, we had a miracle here today, folks. Is this being recorded? I might be looking for work now. But, as I mentioned, the pills, the powder, and the needles are so strong. The only way to get off them is to get on something more powerful, and that's the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of good treatment programs out there. But if you go to a treatment program and you become free from drugs and alcohol, but you don't have Christ, where's the freedom? And that's why Teen Challenge has the success rate that it does have. I'll share a bit. Do I have time to share a bit of my story, Pastor? Okay. Did anybody remember my story from last year? I won't be offended. You can put your hand up, anyone. Okay. I was actually born and raised Edmonton, Alberta, into a Christian home. I remember us fighting on the way to church to hear a message on love, and even more fighting on the way home. Many times coming home from school, never knew if we'd be walking into Hurricane Irene or Hurricane Sandy. Was my mom going to be pushed around or one of the kids? And then my dad would say, let's have a Bible study. So we read through the Bible cover to cover half a dozen times, many times with tears going down our face. In junior high, I think this is where my brain turned off, because in grade 7, they had a course on evolution. And I think I was the only one that failed that class. And I think at that point is when my brain turned off, because I'm hearing one message at home, one message at church, and another message at school. And that led on a long, many years of a downward spiral. I failed grade 7. I failed grade 8. I skipped 9. I hit grade 10. I met a girl. She became pregnant. I left home, and I told my dad and his God to leave me alone. I want nothing to do with you or your God. And I went to the world to prove him wrong, that I was loved, that I was valued, and that I was needed. And everything inside of me wanted to fit into this world. And not only did I want to fit into this world, but I wanted to be the guy in the front. And that's a dangerous place to be. I started a DJ business, became successful quite soon, and one night at a party, a DJ said, one of the bouncers said to me, hey, you're the DJ, have some of this. Of course, it was cocaine, and that led on a 10-word downward spiral. It started out fun, the nightlife and the parties and all that stuff, until it stopped being fun anymore. And it cost me most of everything that meant anything to me, my daughter, my family, my morals, my health, my business. When you're in that downward spiral, you take people with you. One of my DJs just graduated the Saskatchewan program last year. My brother, who's was one of my DJs, has now been clean for 2 years. And so all that to share, I ended up losing a lot of my contracts. I went into the car business. And one day on the car lot, this lady came and said, hey, I'll tell you what. She was looking for a vehicle, and she said, I'll tell you what. She said, I'll buy this car from you if you come to my church. So I told her yes, just to get her to buy the car, not realizing I made a deal with the Holy Spirit. Usually when you do up a bill of sale, it's subject to payments or financing. Mine said subject to going to church. So I took the bill of sale into my sales manager, and he said, he thought he had to go to church. He said, no deal. And I said, no, me. He goes, that's a deal. So even he, who didn't know the Lord, knew I needed a lot of help. And so she bought the car. I didn't go. About 3 months later, she came back to get the oil changed, and she said, hey, you said you're going to come to my church. She said, I'll tell you what, on Wednesday nights, we have this Alpha course. We're making roast beef, mashed potatoes, all the fixings. Why don't you come out? We'll feed you. And if you like it, you can come back. If not, you've had a good meal. So I went for the food. If you didn't catch that on my first line this morning, I think everyone's already heard all this. We could have finished eating lunch already. But went for the food, and it was the first time I was in a church that I was around folks that I would say are like the staff at Teen Challenge. They just wanted to love on me. They had no agenda. They just stood in the gap. And, you know, it's awesome that it was through that I was able to find the Lord through the Alpha on the Holy Spirit weekend. And when you send someone a Teen Challenge, it's like spending 12 months with someone like your pastoral team and the elders from Leduc Alliance for 12 months. And so I'm so thankful for the organization Teen Challenge. I ended up getting saved. I heard about this program, Teen Challenge. I called them up. I said, I need help. And they said, they told me the process. It's a $100 application fee or a $1,000 tuition for the year. And the $1,000 tuition. And I told them I don't have the tuition. They said, well, let's apply. If you get accepted, then we'll worry about the tuition. And before he hung up with me, he said, do you have faith? And I said, yes. He said, we'll see you Monday. And it could have been someone at Leduc Alliance that said, if someone shows up to your door and they mean it, don't let that tuition stop them from a new life. And whoever planted that seed 10 years ago will never know that I've gone on to become the development officer for Alberta. And again, what the enemy meant for harm, God says, just watch me. And my whole life now is to be as far from this world as possible and to be able to love on these guys, mentor them, to come out. I make a lot of phone calls. God's got a sense of humor. He says, you know, I'm going to teach you for showing up with no money. You're now the development officer. You got to go ask for the money. So anyway, you can't sponsor me because I'm graduated. I know you guys all want to sponsor me. Stop it. But we have a young guy, Braden, Braden's graduating, don't sponsor him, Brendan, and he's just a young guy, and he wasn't able to be here, but we are looking to get each of these gentlemen sponsored. When they graduate, you get a new student, and if you're basically supporting helping make our program possible. I just want to, in closing, just share, how many people have been to the Teen Challenge Ranch? Right on. Do you want to do this presentation, ma'am? Okay. I'm bringing the center to you. If we can just go to the next slide. So this is currently the Teen Challenge Ranch. What we have here on the top left is the barn. This is 40 acres in the Prittis Valley. The barn top left, and then to the right, the taller house, that's a farmhouse. That's where the residence is. And then the lower roof, that's the kitchen and the dining area. And then to the right is the study area, teacher's office. That's actually an ATCO trailer, and we put a roof on it. And then to the right is our classroom, chapel, and offices. That's four ATCO trailers put together. Does anyone know the shelf life for a director at a place like Teen Challenge or a treatment facility? Is 3 to 5 years. Our director has been, his office has been in that ATCO trailer for 14 years. In the winter, it gets very cold in his office. He's got to plug a heater in underneath the desk. And in the summer, he's got to put an air conditioner in the window. And, you know, I go to some of these treatment facilities. My wife works for one. I won't mention the name. But in the last 4 years, they've gone through four residential managers. You go to their boardroom, long cherry oak, leather chairs, smart board, conference. And... But our director's been there for 14 years. The newsletter just came out congratulating him for 14 years. Seems like 20% of the people do 80% of the lifting. And many times when there's a student, you know, in the morning when the director comes in and they go, Johnny's going off the rails again. And as a director, it'd be easier to say, Johnny, you're gone. But he finds a way to stand in the gap and bring the guy in, and it makes his day harder. And then the next day you come in and Johnny. So he's just a great guy. We're currently building a new facility. We have a 12-bed facility right now. We're going from 12 to 24. Alberta's got the second largest need per capita in the country for beds. We have one of the smallest centers. The dorms in the staff in the residence, it's actually supposed to be like a farmhouse for a family. We got 12 students in there, and there's four spots for guys that want to stay on after graduating and take a leadership role. Those that stay on for that component have a higher success rate because they stay on and take the leadership role. We have one bathroom for all 16 guys. And, you know, the reason I share that with you is because God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Alberta has the highest graduation rate nationally. You know, when you're in a program and saying, I need help, and there's all this turnover at the top, how can they help the guy coming in the front door when there's no stability at the top? And so our prayers, we can, I was saying, you know, our director doesn't even have a leather chair. And then he went and bought a leather chair. I'm like, why would you buy one now? And they don't even like me telling that story, so do not tell Greg. Because they say it's actually embarrassing, that because that's not why they're there. Anyway, our new facility is going to be a 24-bed facility, 24 students. There will be 8 spots for interns, so it's actually going to be a 32-bed facility. The project's $5.5 million. Our board wants us to raise 75% of the 5.5 before we do a broad appeal to donors, because typically when you do a capital campaign, if you do a broad appeal out of the gate, you run out of steam halfway through and frustrate donors. So our goal is to raise that 75%. In September, we were hoping to pour the foundation and put the shell up. We were about 800,000 short of the foundation shell and winterizing it. And so because we didn't have enough, we did all the site prep we could. And then end of September, we got a letter of intent in the mail for $1 million. And then just before Christmas, got a letter, a phone call from the Calgary Foundation, anonymous donation for $1 million. So we're at 4 million of the 5.5. First thaw, we are going to be pouring the foundation, put the shell up and winterize it. So we're 1.5 short of making that happen. So prayer request for the new center, we are going to have a gala at WECA, West Edmonton Christian Assembly, on March 30. We'll have all our staff and some of our students down there for that. So if you would like to come to the gala. In closing, we want to thank you so much for being one of our local mission partners and supporting us, letting us come and share a message of hope. If you or anyone you know is dealing with addiction, please come and see us at the table at the back, not for a handout, but a hand up in the fight against addiction.